So we're in part 14 now of the parable of the soils in this series that we're in, the presence of the future, and the subtitle today being the soils. Again, we're back into the dirt. We're back into the soils. Yeah, and we saw last week just how little focus Jesus actually put in this parable on the sower, didn't we? You know, he was virtually silent on the sower, which is quite surprising. Because, you know, so many of us think, well, the sower's the number one, the teacher's number one, the pastor's number one. But he said, no, I don't want you to focus on that. And we're going to see what he did want us to focus on. So he didn't put a lot of focus either on the seed, did he? He just said, it's the word of the kingdom. And that was it. And we obviously know from other passages of scriptures what that actually means. But in this specific parable, he didn't really go into it in any detail. So we should be immediately asking, why not? Yeah? That's what we should be doing. We should be asking, why didn't he put the focus? Because wherever he put the focus should be where we're putting the focus. But that's seldom the case for so many. We should be looking at what he thinks is important and focusing on what he deems important, not what you and I possibly think is important. We also saw that the sower was nothing of himself. Remember that? Because it's God that is the instigator of all the sower had done. And remember, we went into Corinthians and we saw that. And also what the sower achieved. God gets the credit for that. Not the sower, not the church denomination, not the pastor, not what they're doing or what they aren't doing, right? God gets the glory for the growth and for everything that we turn our hand to in terms of the scriptures. What we often forget is that we cannot make the assumption that the sower is sowing with true seed. Just because somebody's using the name of Jesus, just because they've got a Bible under their arm, doesn't necessarily mean to say what you're hearing is true. And we know that from other sections of scriptures that we've been in previously. How Satan disguises himself as an apostle, as an angel of light, actually. It talks about him disguising himself as an angel of light. He's well qualified. Yeah, if you look historically in the scriptures, he's well qualified. He knows what he needs to do in order to deceive the called. But we looked at Paul referring to those who sowed and watered not being anything. Yeah, not being anything. So turn to Matthew chapter 13, and that's where we're going to spend most of the session on. Matthew chapter 13. And while you're doing that, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 3, 4 to 9, just in case we've forgotten what we read last week. Yeah? So as a background to us not being anything, yeah, I just want to reinforce that. But you turn to Matthew 13, I'm in 1 Corinthians 3, 4. For when one says, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are you not mere men? Yeah. Yeah. Are you not mere men? What then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted. And this is Paul talking. Apostle Paul. I planted. Apollos watered. But God was causing the growth. So you can never forget that. So we don't get credit for the planting and the watering. God gets the glory because it's his growth. He's the instigator of that growth. Verse 7. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything. So we can't be prideful. We can't, you know, can't be looking at what we're doing and boasting about what we're doing and the fruit of our labors, yeah, when it's God that's doing it all. God is giving the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. It's clear as day, isn't it, in the scriptures. Now, one thing we're going to be doing, you're in Matthew chapter 13, and one thing we're going to be doing, and we've already started doing it, is repeatedly reading this parable. I would really encourage you to continue to do that. Because you think, well, I've read that, you know, four or five times this week. Yeah? And you think to yourself, do I really need to read it again? But that's not the way we're to handle the scriptures. So I would encourage you to read it repeatedly. Because it's reading the text that we really come to understand the text. As shocking as that may be to all of us. Yeah. Because what most people do is they want to get to know the parable of the sower. So they go into the Christian bookstore and go and start searching for a book by some theologian who's written about it. Mm-hmm. Rather than going to the theologians who wrote the text. Because they think, you know, if I just get one more book, I'm going to understand this parable. I get one other view, one other point of view, and then I'm going to understand this parable. That is not the way we're to handle it. We're going to understand it, guys, by reading the text. And you're not going to understand it by what I say about it either. You're going to understand it, and you and I are going to understand it, by actually reading the text itself. Now, before we begin even reading it again, what did I say over the last few weeks? I said that the whole reason for Jesus proclaiming these parables, these allegories, is to make clear the revelation of the mysteries of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And we cannot lose that focus. Yeah, it's so easy to do that. You know, we go drifting off into all the parables and we forget what the main purpose of the parables are. It's his revelation of the mysteries of the kingdom. And we're going to get deeper into that over the weeks to come. So that has to be the central focus in our thinking. When I'm reading this, Matthew 13, that we're going to be reading today, he is revealing the mysteries of the kingdom. Like I said, I think it was last week, it's not an agricultural lesson about seed, soils. It's not an evangelical message, an evangelistic type message, yeah, as to how we're to win the lost, quote the lost, yeah. It's about him revealing the mysteries of the kingdom. And that's so key for us to keep that at the center of our thinking. And that's something I've never done before. I've always read these as parables, read them in a different light than the mysteries of the kingdom, and we can't afford to do that. So it's got to be central in our thinking. And by the way, we'll be getting to, at some point, what is referred to as the Great Commission. You ever heard that? Do you know you've never read that in the scriptures? Yeah. You might see it as a heading, which is not the text, but we're going to get to the Great Commission. Because virtually all the churches that we're surrounded by, that is their central theme, the Great Commission. And we're going to see that it might be a Great Commission, but it's never referred to that in the scriptures. And it's never addressed to us. Do you catch that? Never addressed to us. It was addressed to specifically to the apostles. And we'll get into it at some point. So, okay, let's get reading. Matthew 13. And in verse 1, that day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and large crowds gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? You know, why don't you make this really clear to them? Quit the parables. You can read between the lines. And verse 11, and Jesus answered them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. What's the first thing that he talks about? He doesn't say, no, this parable, oh, let me explain to you why I'm doing this. The first thing he tells them is that they were privileged to be granted the mysteries of the kingdom. So what do you think is coming up? The mysteries of the kingdom, guys. We've got to see this. And we're going to see this in throughout these sections of Scripture. That the important thing the Lord is proclaiming here is not a story about sower, seed, and soils. He's communicating through this allegory the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, right? But to them it has not been granted. So to you, small number of people, it has been granted. But to the large crowd, it has not been granted. Verse 12. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Verse 13. Therefore, I speak to them in parables. Hey, because, right? So here's his reasoning for discussing the parables, for putting these central truths of the mysteries of the kingdom into parables. He's about to explain why. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah has been fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. And remember we saw last week, it wasn't a lack of physical hearing, was it? Or physical seeing. The issue was a lack of understanding and a lack of perception of what people were hearing and were seeing. Why? Because it has to be granted. And God grants that to his people. It's his prerogative to grant that. And do you notice it's just a few that were granted that privilege? And the scriptures is full of that from Genesis to Revelation. That it's very often a few that are granted the privilege of knowing and understanding the scriptures. Verse 15. For the heart of people has become dull. Hey, in this section, this is the majority, right? It's become dull. And they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, repent, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Now, we're already 17 verses in, guys. Yeah? And guess what? It takes the Lord only 6 verses to explain what he just said. So as we listen to this explanation, I want us all to be thinking differently than we normally do when we read this. Okay? Because most of us, and I speak for myself particularly, most of us have for decades been looking at this from a kind of
Evangelistic.
Thank you, Steve. Try and say that fast. Evangelistic perspective, right? So, I don't want us doing that today. I want us to be looking at it in the context of what? The mysteries of the kingdom. You know, for most of us, historically, when we looked at this, we would go out there as sowers, wouldn't we? Into the highways and byways of life, yeah? Spreading our seed into the sky train stations, wherever you were, the bus, yeah, sowing your seed, yeah. And usually it was any verse that came into your head, you'd throw at people, and you're just praying and spend the rest of the week praying that some of it would stick, and they would actually phone your number. How successful has that been for any of us? Do you think that is what Jesus is teaching here? Absolutely not. What is he teaching? He's teaching the mysteries of the kingdom. And we're going to get to understand that in more depth as we move on. That is going to give us a totally different perspective on the parables if we do that. Right? If we change our perspective to him revealing the mysteries. We've got no excuse, guys. He opened up the conversation with the disciples. I'm going to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom. And yet we've missed it. And praise God they didn't. Because the part of the mystery was, word of the kingdom was arriving like a sower. It's an analogy. It's like a sower. This is the way the kingdom is coming. Like a sower. Sowing seed. And we've got to get this. It's not optional for us to miss this. We miss this, really, honestly, to your peril. Because we're going to miss one of the main revelations of the scriptures, which is the mysteries of the kingdom. And we're going to see that as we continue in this series, how critical it's going to be that we don't miss this truth. This is not optional. It's really key for all of our lives. So, verse 18. Hear the parable of the sower. So we're coming up now with the definitions, six verses that are going to clearly tell us what Jesus was talking about in the parable. But he's encouraging people to hear with the right understanding. Okay, because we saw that. The majority are not going to understand this. They didn't understand it in his context, and they don't understand it in our lives and context either. Because do you think everybody on the shore was actually hearing the parable? Of course they were. It wasn't that they weren't hearing it. It was how they assimilated that in their thinking and in their understanding. And one of the key things that Jesus is teaching here is that the kingdom has arrived. We're going to see that. In a way that no one had ever anticipated, not even the great prophets of old. And that's absolutely key for us. And we're going to see that more and more as we look at Jesus' ministry, that the kingdom had arrived. So, how has that impacted our lives, that the kingdom has arrived? Because for many, they're still living the same type of life. And I'm not talking about sin, I'm just talking about understanding of the scriptures. They're still living with a shallow understanding of the scriptures at times. And we miss that throughout all the parables. And that's possibly why we've had the kind of wrong understanding of these parables all along. It's because we're looking at it with the wrong understanding. So we have to analyze each of these explanations very carefully with that kind of backdrop. Don't slip into an evangelistic, right, headset, mindset. And bear in mind, as he's divulging all of this, it's new to everyone. It's new to everyone, to the disciples, to all those followers who are hearing this. This was all new to them. But it's also important to realize no one's going to understand this unless it's been granted to them to properly understand it. So we can't get frustrated when we teach this and people don't understand it, because it has to be granted. So we can never assume just because you and I are sowing that everyone should hear and understand what we're saying. But we've gone through life like that. Well, I certainly have. I said, why the heck? I mean, I put together this teaching and spent time on the bus with this guy and, you know, explained it. You know, a fool couldn't miss this. And yet the phone never rang. You know, he never did call me because it had never been granted to them to understand it. And that's so key. So the first one in verse 19. Hey, this is the seed beside the road. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom. And let's not assume because we're throwing out Bible verses that that's what people are hearing. Because we've got to understand that word of the kingdom in the context with which Jesus was teaching the word of the kingdom. And we're going to get into that in the weeks to come. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown, where? In his heart. In his heart. And that Greek word means to set together. That Greek word for understanding is to put it together. They don't understand it. They can't put it together. It doesn't set together for them in their mind. This is the one whom seed was sown beside the road. It missed the soil, beside the road. Wasn't in the soil that the sower was targeting. And you don't need to turn to this, but another usage of this word is Ephesians 5:17. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Yeah. And the context in this verse shows us how this can be done. And it's in verse 16. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. We don't occupy our time with other things that are distracting to the scriptures. So what's the first thing we learn here? It's that the word of the kingdom is not at fault. It's not the fault of the word of the kingdom. It's the person's understanding. It's the person does not understand it. And we should be immediately asking, why the heck not? You know, I gave him the Greek word. I showed him what other places it was used and went through all the logic as to why they should be able to understand it. Because it's the word of the kingdom, after all. And they still don't understand it. Because remember, we saw it earlier. And, you know, sometimes we read and we keep reading and we kiss our memory goodbye by the time we're 4 or 5 verses on. Yeah. But we saw it earlier in verse 15. Look back in the context. And this is only 4 verses back, guys. And this shows us why they don't understand. For the heart of the people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. There's the answer. That's the main reason they don't understand. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. There's the reasoning. So we don't need to be asking ourselves the question, why don't people understand? They close their eyes. So verse 20, on to the next soil. Rocky places. Yeah. No root. Verse 20. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or a persecution arrives because of the word, immediately he falls away. So we see here a man who actually hears the word and immediately receives it. But not just receives it, he receives it with joy. Oh, hallelujah! Thank God I found this truth. Yeah? Immediately receives it with joy. But when something hard comes along, and don't forget what we just read, because of the word of the kingdom, which is an indication that when you are into the word of the kingdom, some hard things are going to come along. It's not that they will come along, guys. It's our response when they come along. Yeah. That's absolutely key. Yeah. And you see this guy's response. Once we hear it, we cannot assume everything's okay. And by the way, it's not believing a verse. It's not believing a verse. It's not praying the sinner's prayer. Right, that's not receiving the word of the kingdom with joy, okay? As many people think it is. Because we see here, the man who hears it has to get somewhat roots. Roots. So roots are absolutely key for when persecution comes along and hardship comes along. Because if we don't have that root system in ourselves, then we are going to be history. We're going to be taken out. That's what this is absolutely communicating to us. But I can tell you this. We know how we are all going to react if we don't have our roots down. Because it's right here. We will fall away. We will fall away. So if we're sitting with no roots, guess what? It's a matter of time before that persecution comes, that hardship comes because of the word of the kingdom. And it's coming like a freight train for all of us if you look at what's going on in the world today. and the freedoms that have been taken away from people. Because it's right here, guys. We will fall away without a strong root system. And that falling away is refers to a snare, you know, a snare being put out, you know, for when people are hunting animals. You don't see it. The next thing you know, you're in, that animal is in the snare. It's to cause, the world causes us to stumble, causes us and entices us to sin. It's all part of that falling away. Verse 22, here's the ones among the thorns. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Who would ever have thought? In this amazing parable of the soils, that this would come up. But do you see the link there? Worry of the world and deceitfulness of wealth. This is a person who's so concerned about his survival because of the lack of money, he becomes consumed by it. Yeah? Becomes consumed by it. It's where the things of this life are magnified above God. That's how money is. It can be deceitful. And we've seen that before. And that's why the Lord said, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Remember that?
Yeah.
Do you think the Lord knows this stuff? You bet he does. Now, he didn't say they couldn't enter the kingdom of heaven, did he? It's just harder. Why is it harder? Because of the pull and the self-reliance they have in their own mindsets concerning money. That's why it's harder. And yet, the world teaches that money is the root of all prosperity, the root of all your solutions. The scriptures teach the very opposite. The scriptures teach the love of money is a root of evil. So I wouldn't be chasing it if I was you. And yet, the Lord in that same section said, because the disciples said, oh man, who can be saved? And the Lord said, with people, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19. So it doesn't matter who we come up against. God can call whoever he likes. Never underestimate the power of God. Why? Because he's sovereign. That's why. Now finally we get to the good soil. Now remember the disciples and the followers had never heard anything like this before. We've all heard this before, but you've got to put yourself in their shoes. They were hearing this for the first time, so it was all new to them. So they'd never heard this before. The word of the kingdom wasn't supposed to have turned up this way. Yeah, that was a huge battle for the Lord. Because the kingdom, as depicted in the Old Testament, wasn't supposed to come like a sower and seed. Yeah. You never see this kingdom depicted in Daniel as being a sower flinging seed around a field. And yet he brought this revelation to them. And in fact, the whole of Israel, Daniel had painted out a picture of how this kingdom was to come. You've got to read Daniel. And you've got to read Daniel with a view of this in mind. It's like day and night. So they're saying to themselves, well, you know, that's not what Daniel said. I'm sure many of them were thinking that. And yet, this is the way the Lord depicted it. It was such a surprise for them. Here's this guy from Nazareth teaching about sower and seed. And they're saying, what? The kingdom has arrived. The kingdom is here. And you're talking about sowers and seed. What about the great power of the sovereign God who's going to get rid of Rome and all the tyranny of Rome? There was none of that. He's coming in peace. He's talking about love, forgiveness, repentance. What are you on about? Yeah. But are we starting to see the revelation of the mysteries of the kingdom throughout this parable? We're going to see that. One of the main truths being how the kingdom comes like a sower sowing seed. But not just that. Not just that it was arriving in a totally different way than they were expecting, but also And it's a huge but, this. He painted the individual responsibility to receive the kingdom, that it was on the individual's responsibility. It was the individual's responsibility to receive it. As far as they were concerned, the power of God was coming in a dramatic way across the whole world. And it wasn't up to you whether you were receiving it or not. You were going to get it in the face regardless. So part of this sowing the soils is showing us the individual responsibility to receive the kingdom. And they had never even had any comprehension of that before. As far as they were concerned, this was coming as an all-powerful reign of God across the whole earth. And they were going to be his people, and they were going to be redeemed and released from the tyranny of Rome. That's what they were looking for. Yeah. And he's talking about source, seed, and soils. So, totally different picture for all of them. But just watch how he clarifies what is the most important soil. Verse 23. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it. Okay? So he's hearing the word of the kingdom and he's putting it together. He's setting it together in his thinking. Yeah? Who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So what's the criteria for someone who is the good soil? And we just read it before, actually, in verses 19, 20, and 22. All the people had heard the same word of the kingdom. So they're all hearing the same thing. But it's a response, isn't it? It's a response to that same word of the kingdom. And in verse 23, it's the same word of the kingdom they're hearing. But the response is what's so, so different. And here he says, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now we're going to be asking ourselves, what's that talking about? I would suggest that the context tells us what that is referring to. And we've seen it before in verse 12, which we went into in some detail. Let me go back. Verse 12. Yeah. Verse 12, for whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. That's the understanding I understand for this verse that we're in, 23. Who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. I understand that to be referring to the knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom. It's not about your bank account. It's not about your fruit of the Spirit. It's not about your manifesting anything else other than, in the context, your knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom. So again, it's putting it front and center for us. So our priorities, having gone through this parable, are, number one, ensure we hear and understand. Secondly, ensure we build a depth and a root system in our lives. Ensure, thirdly, that we do not worry about wealth and the things of this world. And last, but certainly not least, in fact, most importantly, we hear and understand to the point of bearing fruit. Totally essential for all of us. And remember, the apostles were told they were going to reign over the 12 tribes of Israel. Guess what, guys? No one else is going to be doing that. And why did they get that privilege? Because of what they did. But what they did in their life, right? What they did in this life. And that's why, as we move on in this series, we're going to see the absolute critical nature of understanding that the kingdom has come. What we'll be doing in the future kingdom, if we endure, will also vary depending on how we respond to the gospel of the kingdom today. Today. So we've got to get out of the habit of thinking the kingdom is something future and I've got a hope for it. You and I are determining how we're going to be in that kingdom today, in the present. That's why the Lord said the kingdom has come. Because you and I are determining what we're going to be doing in that kingdom today. And the present aspect of the kingdom, as we finish off here, does not replace the future kingdom. It's really important for us to understand this. And it doesn't mean we now have a different view or interpretation of the coming future kingdom. This kingdom the Lord is referring to here is a supplement to that kingdom. It's the same kingdom, but it's not replacing it. We don't view the future kingdom in any different way. This supplements the future kingdom. And it's really key for us to understand that. In fact, it's absolutely massive that we got to understand that. We're not talking about the future kingdom is here. We're talking about the same kingdom is here, but it's supplementing what we understand to be the future kingdom. And we'll continue to see that as we move on, how the communication of the present kingdom is so critical for us to really come to terms with. Okay, so that's us for today.